Last week, I spent much of the week in Kitchener-Waterloo at a Be in Christ Church of Canada event. But I'm not going to talk about that today. I grew up in Cambridge and spent a fair bit of time going to the mall in Kitchener and going up to Waterloo to be with friends who lived or went to university there. But I'm not going to talk about that today. While visiting KW, I kept driving past familiar street names and landmarks that got me reminiscing about my most important Waterloo connection. My grandparents were from Waterloo, and my earliest experiences of the city involved them. Reminiscing about them, my grandparents, occupied much of my mind this past week. So today, I invite you to join me for Covenant Weekly Podcast Episode 8, Reminiscing and Resurrection. Is a recording of Franz Liszt, Liebestraum. I apologize to any German speaker who is listening for my terrible pronunciation. It is playing from a record that used to live in the home of Howard and Norma Underwood. Howard and Norma are my grandparents. I was privileged enough, and I don't know how it actually happened, to receive many of my grandfather's records when my grandparents passed away. My grandpa Underwood was a musician, mostly involved in bands, but loved all kinds of music. He introduced me to so much different music and to a love for music. I remember as a very small child visiting the music store that he ran, and even though I didn't understand most of the instruments then, he got me excited about sound and notes through many of the smaller novelty instruments that were there. As I grew and got into music myself, I remember going to my grandparents' apartment and my grandfather being excited to show me a song. Or maybe he'd just have a symphony or an opera or even some gospel music playing loudly on his speakers. My grandparents were the ones who ensured that most of their grandchildren went to the symphony at least once. But their love for us transcended sharing music with us. My grandmother loved to feed us. We shared a love for baseball and would watch it whenever I was over there during baseball season. Every year, every grandchild would do an overnight at Grandma and Grandpa's. Then in the morning, we'd go out to one of their favorite restaurants and for breakfast and then drive to a shoe store in Cambridge where they'd buy us a top quality pair of shoes. I remember walking with my grandma through the Eaton's in the mall across the road from their apartment. Every once in a while, we even got to visit the Dairy Queen in the mall on our way back across the road to their place. My grandparents also loved to laugh. My grandfather became a Christian when he was around 40 and quickly got active in the church. One of his big things as he retired was being the host and song leader for their church's weekly Super 60s event. This involved emceeing the lunch event, choosing and leading the songs, and then introducing the various people that came to speak and share. But the thing I think he put the most time into was telling great jokes to the audience that was there. I got to be the test subject, or maybe just new fodder for many of the favorite jokes that he found to tell. Driving around Waterloo last week got me reminiscing about these wonderful people in my life. My grandfather passed away all the way back in 1997. My grandmother died in the year 2000. To this day, I miss them immensely. Most of the time, over the past 10 to 15 years, when I've been struck by the remembrance of them and I've been in that area, it's just been to drive through and I haven't been able to sit with those memories. Last week, I was there for 2.5 days, and then when our event was over at noon, I didn't need to rush home. So I decided to take a short drive past the apartment my grandparents lived at for most of my life, and then across town to the cemetery where they are buried. Their apartment building looks exactly the same as it used to. I was reminded of some features of it that I'd forgotten as I sat and looked at it. But all around it, especially at the mall across the road, the passage of time is very apparent. Sitting there looking at their building, I entered a place of deep emotion. And I sat in that deep emotion even while I traveled towards the cemetery. Just before I got to the cemetery, there was a place where I could buy flowers. So I've never left flowers in a cemetery before, but I decided to stop and get some so I could leave them at my grandparents' headstone. As I pulled into the rather large cemetery, I was pretty sure I remembered where they were buried, even though it's been quite a while since I've been there. But upon getting to that spot, I couldn't find their headstone anywhere. I figured I'd just forgotten, so I drove over to the cemetery office. They looked up my grandparents' names and sent me with a map right back to where I'd been. I still couldn't find where they were buried. I thought I must be reading the map wrong, so I started walking through the previously unbroken snow back and forth down the rows in that area. Each step I took, I looked at all the different headstones, and without seeing theirs, it left me more and more emotional. Here I was, missing them deeply and embracing that I was missing them deeply, and I couldn't find them anywhere. I walked past dozens of headstones. None of them had my grandparents' name. Up and down the rows, I walked, carrying this bunch of flowers. I went back to my car to check the map again. I walked in the other direction. I checked the map again. Nothing. I was on the verge of tears and started feeling like somehow I was failing them. All of the memories and all of the loss was building in me in ways that I couldn't understand. In the past, I would have logically explained things away, but I just let myself feel it this time. I did find my grandfather's name on the list of veterans who had passed away, but that wasn't the same. It only confirmed that I was in the right area. I was so close, but couldn't find them. And then, as I was walking and thinking and feeling, I remembered the description of people who have died before us, the description that's found in the book of Hebrews. The writer describes those people as a great cloud of witnesses. And rather than focusing on not finding the headstone for a moment, I asked myself, if my grandparents are watching me right now, what would they be thinking and feeling? And at that point, even as I was on the verge of tears, I smiled. I knew that they would be feeling so bad for me. I knew that they would want to comfort me. I also knew there would be a part of them that was trying not to laugh at me, wandering around a cemetery on a cold February day, trying to find a gravestone that represented them, but wasn't actually them. I smiled a little with them, but kept looking. And suddenly, just in that moment, it dawned on me. Some very, very important information that I had simply forgotten until that moment. My grandparents' headstone is an in-ground, flat headstone. I couldn't find it, not because of me or because it wasn't there. It's because it was hidden under the snow. I'd known exactly where it was, I just couldn't see it. With this realization, I laughed out loud and almost broke down into tears at the same time. I had spent well over 15 minutes looking for something I just couldn't see at that time, no matter how long I'd walked around the cemetery. I'd gotten overwhelmed and felt all kinds of things. I'd felt like I was failing them. I'd felt like I was losing them all over again. I felt all the depth of loss. And what I was looking for had actually been there all along. I just couldn't see it. At this point, I imagine them truly and deeply laughing and smiling and reminding me that they were there all along. They are a part of that great cloud of witnesses. And I was reminded that our hope is in something we can't see right now. The Bible talks about grief and death. It embraces grief and death. I mean, Jesus wept at Lazarus's tomb. But it doesn't point to death as an end point. Even in that grief, there is something beyond death that we can't see. Jesus revealed it to us, and we're told that all those who are in Christ will participate in it. It's called resurrection. The hope we have in Jesus is that all of the brokenness and pain and death and violence of the world is not the end. Resurrection, a new life is coming that will take what we know and bring it not only to life, but to eternal life, a quality and beauty and power of life that looks kind of like what we know now, but transcends it in ways beyond description. That is the hope we have as we grieve in the face of death and loss and pain. God has not forgotten us. Our truest, deepest selves are not lost or destroyed by the mess or violence of this life. In fact, they may be closer than we think. We just can't see them because they're hidden from us right now. And here's the thing that's amazing. Because we know that they're there, we're invited to live in light of that new life today. We aren't to wait until death to start living out the resurrection. We're called to embrace that resurrection way of being today. In fact, when Hebrews talks about the great cloud of witnesses, that's the writer's point. It says, because we have these witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let's run the race with endurance, the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates his first resurrection and perfects our faith. That's the invitation. Let's live freely and with love now because we know the resurrection is the future. We can live compelled by love and not fear. You know, how we live in light of that may not make sense to a world overwhelmed by fear. But when love wins, when the resurrection happens, living this way in the present will then make perfect sense. When I left the cemetery last week, I left a bouquet of flowers sitting on top of the snow. People who come by and see it will likely be confused. It doesn't make sense for this bouquet to just be sitting there on the snow. Unless you know that spring is coming and what's hidden now, the headstone for Howard and Norma Underwood, will then be revealed. Then what doesn't make sense now will make perfect sense. Covenant family, today is the first day of March. Spring is coming soon. Sap will soon start flowing. We will hear the birds chirping and see flowers breaking through the hard ground. May this annual glimpse, this foreshadowing of the resurrection, fill you with hope. As of this Sunday, the only restriction we have for our in-person gathering is wearing of masks. We will, of course, continue in a hybrid format to serve those who are not able or ready to be in person yet, or to stay connected with those who have begun joining us from further away. Our women's Bible study remains online for now. Our youth, however, are back in person this coming Wednesday. Our junior high will be meeting from 6 to 7 p.m. playing outside, so please dress for the weather. Our senior highs will be continuing to work through Youth Alpha, beginning at 7:15 inside the church. In closing, brothers and sisters, siblings, may the hope of the resurrection fill you. May an awareness of the cloud of witnesses around you encourage you. May the presence of the Spirit of Christ sustain you, and may all this motivate you, compel you to love as you move through this week. God bless. Go in peace.